long before anybody was called a father, God called himself Everlasting Father in the Bible. In Deuteronomy 32, Moses sang this song, one of the first times God showed himself as a father in Scripture. Moses said, "He is the rock," talking about the Lord, "a faithful God who does no wrong." In case you wonder if God's trustworthy, he does no wrong. He's a faithful rock. Is he not your father, your creator, who created and formed you? So how wonderful the Lord is, and an amazing blessing that anybody should be called dad or father, considering that God himself named himself father or revealed himself that way. And so God dignifies for all time the responsibility and position of a father. Spiritual father, watching over God's people. That's what every believer has the responsibility for. I don't know if you thought of yourself as a spiritual father. That's your assignment. And also physical father, if you have a family to take care of. And so looking from the Bible's point of view, we can forget about what the world says about fathers, whether they're good or bad or, you know, fumbling around. God invented dads. God knows how to make dads good dads. And so we look to him and say, "Help us, our Father in heaven." And God can do that for us. As a Christian, you're a spiritual father. You provide, protect, and lead others to know the Lord. The Apostle Paul said to the wild Corinthian believers, he said, "I have become your father because I shared with you the gospel." So that's part of your job description as a believer. You're the pastor of your little flock. Okay? At work, at the Giant Eagle, at Kohl's, wherever you find yourself, you're the spiritual father of anybody who would say, you know, respond to good news. Shepherd them toward the Lord. Do what God made you to do. Be who God made you to be. And to be his father is an unselfish call in your life. Okay. To influence others. Any earthly father, you would say, would be not good and self-centered if they were just functioning to help themselves. Oh, here comes dad. He feeds himself. He's out late to entertain himself. He's in whatever's happening for himself. He goes to worship kind of for him. He wants his kind of songs. He wants his kind of thing. Dad's all about dad. You would say, dad needs to meet the Lord if he's like that. Okay, a spiritual dad, a spiritual father over others. He's in it for others. How can this help other people? How can I strengthen the other guy? How are they doing with the Lord? That's you, Christian, to do that on behalf of others. Do what God called you to do. Be what God called you to be. Take up your responsibility on behalf of others. Get your eyes off sight. Get your eyes off yourself. Dad. Stop singing the old song, you know, "It's enough about you, let's talk about me." Dad, we are unselfish. We're called to that noble position. So we want to do that in the position God has called us to. Some are called fathers of a family. It's a tremendous assignment. And of all the men in the world, God picked you to be the pastor of your family, you might say. You say, "Well, I don't know the Bible that much. I don't pray as good as my wife. I don't memorize as good as my children." God gave you the position to be the spiritual pastor of your family. So you take up the ball with God's help, and God will provide that way. Many struggle with being a spiritual dad or leading a family spiritually because maybe lack of model that they've seen in their life. Maybe their own dad was not there physically for them or was abusive in some way or didn't help very much. But God gives us some good news in Psalm 27. It says, if our father and mother forsake us, the Lord will take us up. He really will. So if dad wasn't there for you, maybe you didn't have any spiritual dads watching out for you, our Father in heaven says, I'll do that for you. I'll be there for you. So So we can thank God he's faithful like that. He promises to be a father to the fatherless. And so God speaks through Malachi the prophet to dads, spiritual dads. It's about 400 B.C. God has quite a relationship going with his people. He says, I have loved you with an lasting love, he says in the early chapters. And the people's response is very surprising. They say, how have you loved us? So God's people at that point are pretty discouraged. They're full of doubt. They're full of brokenness, as Kevin's saying. They're a lot of cynicism toward the Lord. They say, what good is it to serve God? We don't see any benefits from that. And so God confronts them. God loves the people. The people don't love God back. And God says, my name is to be feared. And it would be a normal self-centered thing to get discouraged while trying to serve the Lord. The young and old did that back in Malachi's day. They often had this thought, which you probably heard or maybe said yourself, I put God first, and I can't seem to catch a break in life. Okay? I don't understand. I'm trying to serve God, and I have all kind of trials. I know the other guy, he doesn't serve God, and you know he's on easy street. He's flying with all kind of good things happening in his life. But a tough lesson you and I could learn from Malachi, both from ourselves, for ourselves, and from the Lord, is this. We're going to have to put success in the world and what we think that means as a distant second compared to our loyalty to Christ. Okay, big challenge, especially for guys, because we do like to excel and succeed. Put success in whatever measure you think that is in terms of the world a distant second compared to your loyalty to Christ. And, of course, real success comes from yielding our life to him. Christian Singer put that expression this way. He said, I don't want to gain the whole world and lose my soul. Great temptation for people today, and guys in particular. Don't let success in the world become your idol, because that idol will kick you in the stomach, stab you in the back, and betray you. It really will. If you think, this is what my life is all about, whatever that idol is. And God can come, take the idol, get rid of it, instead give a blessing, give life in its proper perspective and balance under the Lord himself. You'll be a better worker. You'll be a better husband, a better dad, putting the Lord first. Now, one Christian had to deal with this in his workplace in a very practical way. It was a tough decision. He was always asked to stay late at work, and he didn't mind that because he was very conscientious, real good work ethic, you know, one of the best workers in his group. But he knew if he kept doing that, he was going to become a stranger to his wife real quickly, also not have much impact on his children. So he told the boss, I can stay late once a week at work, but the rest of the times I really need to get home because that's really important to me. And the boss kind of put that on a hold and thought, well, I'll have to convince him in other ways. And because of the pressure the company was under to produce more and more, faster and faster, pretty soon the boss approached the Christian man and said, you know, we really need you. You're a great worker. We would like to promote you to another position. And it would simply require about 3 extra hours a night. You know, don't go home at 5, go home at 8. Monday through Friday, and if you could do that, we will gladly double your salary. Okay, gladly double your salary. And, you know, when I thought of that, first thing I thought was, I'd take it, you know. I'd do what I had to do to make it work. And so the man thought about that, and he thought, you know, the one long time away from family, I could handle that, the 5 days a week, Unless I'm in sales, which is a way you go out and then you come back and those kind of things. I don't know if I want to do that. It was a hard decision for him. He tugged through with his faith and what he wanted to provide for his family about. But finally he went back to his boss and said, you know, I'd rather just keep the position I have, because if I go to that promotion, then I'm not gonna be around much for my family, you know. So that was a tough call that he made. And if the boss is smart, okay, if the boss is smart, anybody who's a boss out there, he will make it work for the man. He would say, that's the kind of man I want working on my team, you know, to do some additional responsibilities, because he has his life in order. And so God can work for the Christian guy as he says, I have to put God first, have to put my loved one second, and work, which is a very good gift from God, it's going to have to be where it's supposed to be. Okay. Now, you're not going to hear that in the world. They'll just say, you know, work yourself to death, and we'll send your widow $200, you know, for the funeral. That's pretty much the extent of it. Then maybe you won't get the $200. But the concern for the Lord first, family second, God calls you to that as a man, as a servant leader. You and I could do that with the help of God. You could do it. And people have to make decisions like that each year, you know. And it's okay. Somebody said, you know, it's okay to eat a little bit more peanut butter and a few more Cheerios, a little bit less what you really thought you needed to be healthy, which is not healthy anyway, in order to, I'll keep my life under God and put Him first. You can do that. And God will help you excel that more than you ever expected anyway. So fathers, earthly fathers and spiritual fathers, they like challenges. They like challenges. Take up the challenge. In verse 16, God's people make a turnaround. They say, those who feared the Lord talked to each other. They repented and the Lord listened and heard. So as you share things, you start to see God's way more clearly. God's promises in verse 17, they are mine. They're my treasured possession. God loves them much more than any issue they love, or even the love they have for their family. And God says, I'll have compassion on them like a good dad has compassion. And guys need help knowing compassion. I think every heart of a spiritual father, you know, he sees people and he has compassion on them, or a physical father in home, you really care about how your family's doing. My dad was very good with compassion. And he would show this by showing up at my Little League games. Every game, never missed a game that I remember. And I was barely average in my Little League abilities. He would be very encouraging. When I would strike out, which I did a lot, you know, he would say, like, son, you swang really aggressively. That was fantastic. Have you considered, you know, fly swattering or something like that? No. He didn't say that. But he was there at every game. And I remember he used to stand out in left field with compassion, waiting for something good to happen when I would bat up. The compassion means to be with enthusiasm. And certainly he was there. So finally, almost at the end of my Little League time, 12 years old, there's a pitcher comes who I think I could hit this guy. Okay. And divine intervention occurred. He pitches. I hit the ball. There it goes. Home run. Home run. Unbelievable. Rounding the bases, you know, the home run goes where my dad is and everything. And to be able to share that moment, because he was what? He was with me, with enthusiasm, with compassion. And so that was something easy for me to give my heart to an authority in my life like that, and then him point me to the Lord in his own way, as much as he knew. Okay. Dad, you have an influence like that. God says he will send help to people. Send help to spiritual fathers and dads. before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So before God's final judgment, he says, I'm gonna get dads, I'm going to get them toward their children, and I'm going to get children, I'm going to get them toward their dads. And we say, oh Lord, make that happen. You know, first of all, spiritual fathers, we do that for other people. Turn toward them. Not away from me. Get away from me, you little pagan, you know. You make my hands dirty. No, spiritual dads, move toward who God gave us responsibility for. Earthly dads, move toward the people in your life. And then children back to fathers. How do we do that practically? Put our Father in heaven first. As we respect our Father in heaven, our children will respect us. Okay. Is there a massive amount of respect for adults in our society? You know, children, they see you coming over. Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, nice to see you. How are you? If you respect our Father in heaven, and I respect our Father in heaven, our children will respect us. Okay, they will learn that. No respect for God? We have, why should they respect us? We're not giving them any kind of example. And my dad was good at, as much as he knew how, again, putting the Lord first. I'll share this. Every Sunday we had a big family picnic. I'm talking about big aunts and uncles, cousins, about 30 people every Sunday afternoon when it was nice. It was a great time. And so it started at noon, family picnic at noon. I'll be there. You can count on that. And so Dad, he sees, okay, church, family picnic. He says, we're going to church at 8:30. That was like death for me. 8:30, I got to wake up at 7:30 to get to church. Who in their right mind goes to church at 8:30? Some of your brothers and sisters of the Lord do. But church first. Family picnic second. Could you do that? Could you do that? You could do that. You could do that. And it was a way to say, I see how to follow God. And dads take the spiritual lead as we teach responsibilities. You know, one Christian leader said, I can give my sons and daughters everything I have, but if I don't give them Christ, I've not been a good parent. And he said, but if I give them Christ and I forget everything else, I gave them the best. I gave them the best. And how the Lord does that for us. And just in closing, some things we could do practically, how dads can lead to the Lord just by their attitude and their yielding to him. We ask God for help with that. To lead another to Christ, either in your community or in your family. You don't have to be the one who knows the Bible the best. You don't have to be the one who prays the best or anything like that. You just have to realize that's your responsibility from God, and God will use you. And as dads, this is some of the things we do, mostly earthly dads. Dads, we show the way to fix what is broken. That's a good time in the home, or we call to get somebody who knows how to do it. In some cases, our wife. Come and fix this. We show the way to fish and hunt. That's a fun thing. We showed a way to throw the ball. That's a good thing. Even if you discover you really shouldn't be throwing the ball, you should be playing the trumpet. That's a blessing. You show the way to treat a lady. Here comes a girl. How am I supposed to treat her, you know? Watch how Dad does. That's a good thing. Show you the way to pick up the Bible. Search for God in it. And most importantly, dads, we show the way to heaven. We show the way to heaven. Who is Jesus? Jesus, and say, son or daughter, He's going to love you when I'm not around. He's going to be with you at school or at work. I can't be there. And when I'm gone, I'll be safe with him. You'll be safe with him. Trust Christ and follow the Lord. And you'll be the breadwinner provider at that point, Dad. Dad's like to be the breadwinner. It doesn't mean you make the biggest check. That just means you point your family to a nourishment. You're the breadwinner. Point them to the bread of life. So you'd be like one beggar showing another beggar where the bread is. What a privilege to be spiritual or physical dad. And just say, thank you, Lord. We're just like Moses. Who would pick us to be dads? Yeah, the Lord did. So we say, thank you, Lord. Help us to take our responsibility seriously and joyfully and thankfully. Let's pray together. Father, I pray for every Christian here, as you've called us to be spiritual fathers. There's a real unselfishness about that. We're not interested in just feeding ourselves or booing for our own selves. We're interested in how can we help the rest of the family. That's a good dad. And earthly dads, Lord, we thank you for them, for the memories of them, for some, for the ones we are presently in our lives. Father, we pray for our thoughts about earthly dads, if we need to forgive them or forgive ourselves for dumping on them in some manner, that we would just feel your reconciling power. You can make it right just as we put our hearts in your way. And Father, I pray for folks here not knowing you, Jesus, so having God as a father is a strange thing. Would they be able to say, Lord, Jesus, be my Savior, and God, be my Father? And for earthly dads, Lord, in our homes, we surrender ourselves to you. We're glad to do so. We're glad you picked us to be dads, and we want to do that with your strength and with a measure of humility and initiative. And we want to put first things first, so we're not garbage dads, but godly dads. And only you could make us that way. So work in our souls, and thank you for your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In our closing songs, maybe we'll just sing verse 1 as our final verse, Vicki, if we could.
If you'll please stand, we're going to sing Chains of Our Fathers.